PRI, Public Radio International.
From Pittsburgh Symphony Radio, a journey through a wide range of Slavic melodic landscapes. From Rachmaninoff's misty and brooding The Isle of the Dead to the magical, colorful Szymanowski Concerto No. 1 for violin and orchestra. We'll close with more Rachmaninoff, his Symphony No. 3. I'm your host, Jim Cunningham. Pittsburgh Symphony Radio is made possible by Pat and Michelle Atkins, who underwrite in honor of Carlo University, Pittsburgh, with additional support by the Jack Buncher Foundation and by the musicians of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. Sergei Rachmaninoff's The Isle of the Dead, Opus 29, began with Arnold Böcklin's haunting painting. Rachmaninoff first saw it in a black-and-white reproduction in Paris in 1907. He was so haunted by this mysterious image with its solitary, island-bound boat bearing a coffin that he began to write music almost at once without even waiting to see the full-color original. Guest conductor Juraj Valčua describes the gloom that emanates from the Isle of the Dead's melodies and the instability of its structure.
I think that it's very important to see this picture before you listen to this music, because you have a very dark, foggy, obsessional atmosphere there. You have an island, static island, and boat approaching, and water is not the most stable thing you can imagine. So this is the first thing why he put 5/8 bar. So 5/8 bar is something that you can divide in 2/3 or 3/1/2, 1/2/3 or 1/2/3/1/2, which makes a measure very unstable. It's not like 2/4 or 4/4 that everything goes in the same way. So this is the first thing that you have. The most big part of this is unstable, but the other part is very interesting, that there is somebody with the oars and making this movement, and you can feel almost that it goes underwater, and you feel a sort of resistance there. So which makes 3/2/3, 1/2/1/2/3, 1/2/1/2/3. So all this atmosphere, also the piece starts with the low strings, celli, basses, timpani, arps. So immediately we have this oppressing atmosphere which develops step by step.
Here's Juraj Valčua to lead the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra in Rachmaninoff's The Isle of the Dead, Opus 29. Juraj Valchua conducted the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra in The Isle of the Dead, Opus 29 by Sergei Rachmaninoff. We end where we began, the ending of The Isle of the Dead, mostly still with the sound of the rowing oars. The somber rowboat was painted by Arnold Böcklin and admired by Rachmaninoff. You can see The Isle of the Dead in Berlin. Böcklin painted it 5 times. The 4th of Böcklin's canvases was destroyed in the Second World War. Another of the paintings belonged to Adolf Hitler for many years. It's now in the collection of the National Gallery of the State Museums of Berlin. It was Marie Berna, a young German widow, who had asked Arnold Böcklin, the German painter, for a picture to dream by. Ein Bild zum Träumen. The painting he sent her in 1880, and its sequels, each like a musical variation on a theme, was almost instantly recognized as a defining moment of late Romanticism. For years, many artists fell under the spell. Only 4 years after Rachmaninoff, composer Max Reger wrote another orchestral interpretation of The Isle of the Dead. Glad to join you in the world of the living. I'm Jim Cunningham. Karol Szymanowski paints another mysterious picture for us next on Pittsburgh Symphony Radio. We'll hear his first violin concerto. He was born in 1882 in Poland, 9 years after Rachmaninoff. Szymanowski's childhood was rich in culture, with a wealth of travel experiences spanning Vienna to North Africa. The Polish composer had a wide range of influences to draw from in his writing. Despite World War I and poor health throughout his career, he still managed to create masterpiece after masterpiece, inspired by his international travel and by the national identity of his homeland, Poland. Karol Szymanowski writes his first violin concerto, Opus 35, in one continuous movement. Joining the Pittsburgh Symphony, Nicola Benedetti to play the violin in a first-time collaboration with Juraj Valchua.
We never played together. I'm looking forward. It's an amazing piece. I heard that it will be performed for the first time, but I don't know if I'm right. It's not a very long piece, it's a short piece, about 20, a little bit more than 20 minutes. But what is interesting in this piece is that you can hear all Szymanowski's influences here. He started really as a Strauss composer. When you listen to his overture in E, first bass, it sounds really like Richard Strauss. Then he came through these colors, these impressionistic moments, and then he came back to his roots and he wrote very folklore, influenced by folklore music. So, and in here, in this piece, you can hear all these three elements. So a lot of colors, special instruments like glockenspiel, celesta, harps, and different way of using instrument and of playing to have the most colorful orchestra you can imagine.
Nicola Benedetti told me that Karol Szymanowski's music is becoming better known around the concert world.
Szymanowski is most definitely experiencing a revival. I think there's a lot of people championing his first and second violin concertos. Some of the smaller miniature works have been a part of many instrumentalists' recital programs for a long time. And also the symphonies. I know London Symphony Orchestra did a Szymanowski cycle recently. He's becoming more appreciated, and rightly so.
The star continues to rise.
Yes.
And the violinist can be heard throughout the whole piece.
Yes, if you, like I said, if you have a big enough sound, and if the orchestra is you know, encouraged to balance with you. And I think there are enormous numbers of doubling of voices. So sometimes you have three or four different instruments playing similar things. And of course, that gives a certain kind of texture and color that you cannot have without a variety of instruments playing the same notes. But it does, of course, then add to the volume. We have a celeste and we have a piano and it's two harps and it's a lot of colors.
There's a killer cadenza.
Yes, not written by Szymanowski. It was written by the gentleman that he wrote the concerto for. They actually worked very closely together. And you can sort of tell in some places in the cadenza it may not quite be him, but it's, obviously he approved of it.
Here is Nicola Benedetti on stage at Heinz Hall to join Yoray Valchur and the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra in Karol Szymanowski's Concerto No. 1 for Violin.
Thank you.
You heard the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Yuri Valchur. The soloist was Nicola Benedetti, playing the Karl Szymanowski Concerto No. 1, his Opus 35. The music, written in 1916 while Karl Szymanowski was in the Ukraine. The first violin concerto was played first on the 1st of November 1922 in Warsaw. The soloist was Józef Ozyminski. Nicola Benedetti heard it first as a teenager.
I was actually talking with the conductor about the first time I heard the concerto. I was maybe 14 or 15 years old. I went to a concert of London Symphony Orchestra and listened to Christian Tetzlaff perform this concerto and just thought, what just happened? It's like the most fantastical dream that happens for 20-something minutes that doesn't stop. There are no movements or interruptions. It's just a constant merging of one sound into the next, and so brightly coloured and diversely coloured, very unusually thickly done for a violin concerto, but he really knew what he was doing, so it was very well scored, just enough. If the conductor works enough on the balance, the violin still can sing through. So that was the first time I heard the concerto, and a couple of years later I was sitting with a Polish violin teacher, and he was a huge champion of Szymanowski's music and suggested I learn it, and I had stuck in my memory that performance, so I was definitely up for it.
Heinz Hall music lovers want to hear more from Nicola Benedetti. She's back on stage with a violin in her hand. We're going to have an encore.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to play for you a gift from Scotland, my home country. This is an arrangement of a Robert Burns tune, Auld Lang Syne. Not the one you all know.
An encore from Nicola Benedetti, having played the Karl Szymanowski First Violin Concerto at the Pittsburgh Symphony and Yoni Valcur, she played the Auld Lang Syne Variations from the tune written by Robert Burns. The Auld Lang Syne Variations are included on Nicola Benedetti's recording Homecoming, a Scottish Fantasy. Her home is in Scotland. She was born there in June of 1987. In August of 2002, Nicola Benedetti won the United Kingdom's Brilliant Prodigy competition. It was broadcast by Carlton Television. At 15, she left the Menuhin School of Music to study privately with the concertmaster of the English Chamber Orchestra. In September of 2012, Nicola Benedetti played at the last night of the Proms. In the New Year honors of 2013, Benedetti was appointed a member of the Order of the British Empire for her services to music and charity. She arranged her travel schedule so she could arrive a day early to work with the young musicians at Pittsburgh's Creative and Performing Arts High School, just a few blocks from Heinz Hall in downtown Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's something I do all the time. I put on sort of my own workshops and do a lot of masterclasses, and I try to, in the UK at least, I do things that are always have a kind of dual goal. One is absolute inclusivity, so we'll have up to 150, sometimes 200 young string players coming to play a relatively simple piece alongside me. I coach them, I play for them, and then equally to demonstrate to that enormous group of people the excellence that is in their area. So I'll also work with, you know, the best young college students that are there and are good enough to play incredibly difficult pieces, and we'll work on that together, and then we sort of perform before or after the younger or less experienced ones. And it's very difficult to, if, when you're dedicating your time within a very demanding life of trying to be on top of your instrument all the time and trying to be really improving as a musician, an instrumentalist, a violinist. I mean, all of those things are a lifetime of work. But if you are really keen on educative work, it's important for me to try to make the maximum impact with the things that I do.
Nicola Benedetti at Heinz Hall, making her fourth visit to the city of Pittsburgh to perform with the Pittsburgh Symphony and Yoni Valcur. On the way, Pittsburgh Symphony Radio brings you more Rachmaninoff, the Third Symphony. I'm Jim Cunningham. Malia Toranjo is the president and CEO of the Pittsburgh Symphony. Resident conductors are Francesco Lecce-Chong and Andres Franco. The Pittsburgh Symphony is always on the air on the Pittsburgh Concert Channel from the WQED.org website, with archive concerts available on demand 24 hours a day. Just Google Pittsburgh Concert Channel. I hope you'll send a note. I'd love to hear from you, and I'd like to send you a free souvenir from Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh Symphony paper binoculars. Get them free while they last with the Radio Guide, a complete list of concerts in the series. There are photographs of some of the musicians you'll hear this season. There's a Pittsburgh Symphony history, and more. It's all free. Write to Pittsburgh Symphony Radio, 4802 Fifth Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA 15213. You can visit our website at psoradio.org or send email directly, pso@wqed.org. Pittsburgh Symphony Radio is underwritten by Pat and Michelle Atkins in honor of Carlo University, Pittsburgh, with additional support by the Jack Buncher Foundation and by the musicians of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. You're listening to Pittsburgh Symphony Radio from PRI, Public Radio International.